Welcome to Street Talk Theology with Pastor Dominic Grimaldi. Pastor Dom went from a life of organized crime to federal prison. There, God saved him and set him free. Soon after his release, he attended seminary and received his master's degree and is now the senior pastor of Desert Sky Baptist Church, where he serves with a passion for biblical theology right here in Casa Grande. Now let's join our host, Pastor Dominic Grimaldi.
Mr. Dominic Grimaldi here, back with you on Street Talk Theology. We take our sound theology and bring it to the streets, and we are in the middle of a huge discussion. So we've covered the caste system in India. We've looked at the American non-solution of critical race theory. We've covered terms like intersectionality. And we kind of left off with a term that Pastor Michael or Pastor Ashuk was talking about, white privilege. And then we ended the last show by saying, well, if there is so-called white privilege, right, why can't you repent of that and move on? Why do you have to put a system into effect? Why do you have to almost continue to condemn yourself of something? So repentance, this is a great point, Ashuk. So repentance is not enough, right, Michael? So I want you guys to kind of hit on that, because that's pretty profound, Pastor Michael. So maybe you can pick up where you left off.
Yeah. Ashok, you're going to say something. He's right on the edge of his mic.
Yeah, you see.
No, I have to let this off my mind. 2 Corinthians 7:10. For the sorrow that is according to the will of God produces a repentance without regret.
Amen.
And results in salvation. But the sorrow of the world produces death. Now, you can have sorrow, sadness, and all these things that can spring forth from different places, right? And if there is a right sorrow, there is a right godly sorrow that brings repentance. Now, this sort of a repentance, this sort of an acknowledgement of what evil that we have done in front of God would lead to life and would lead to salvation. But the kind of repentance that we have here in the case of the social justice is a never-ending guilt trap. There is no end to this. There is no way that you're bound by your social structure. You're bound by where you're born. There is no redemption out of it. The only thing that you can do is live in some sort of a continual guilt state or a continual state of repentance, but not a godly repentance, which is also ironic because one of the leading, one of the big things that they raise against Christianity is that it's all guilt-based. They raise their children based on guilt, they scare their children, and hence we have to free them by sending them to public schools and everything. But you see the entire structure of the Marxist ideology of the critical race theory is built on guilt. You're guilting people into continuous repentance, and there is no forgiveness at the other end.
Yeah, it's not repentance. It is perpetual penance. That's what it is.
Yeah, it is penance. You know,
and I like how
James. Catholic theology, right? I mean, it's crazy.
Right. Yeah. and I completely agree. James White put it very well. He said there is therefore now great condemnation in the woke church.
Yeah.
You know that's. Clearly how it's positioned itself right now. And again, if you go back to it, why is this happening? It's happening because critical race theory begins by making distinctions on the basis of race and dividing people up on the basis of race. So you have to think like a racist to even use the framework. Whereas biblical justice does is, as we've been talking about Galatians 3, completely takes away the thought process or the framework of racial division and says we are all one in Christ. So now you get to deal with one another properly. Now, see, I want us to be careful because suppose there is a white pastor who has been neglecting his black sheep. You know, the people who are the blacks in his community, the Hispanics in his community, or the Indians in his community. Let's assume there's a white pastor who's always caring for the people in his.
That might not be the best.
Yeah, but you know, so there could be a pastor like that who's been having those kind of partiality and he's not been noticing it. And all of these conversations immediately wake him up. And he comes one morning to his church and he apologizes. He apologizes for...
That's James, right? Doesn't James speak about that?
Yeah. Yeah, that is glorious, right? And so we're not saying white pastors cannot stand up in front of their churches and apologize for racist tendencies. That's fine. But the issue here is we've got, like Ashok was saying, pastors who have no racist mentality per se, guilt-tripped into thinking they are racist by virtue of the color of their skin. And they have to apologize, not for something they did wrong, but for something they represent, which is abhorring, which is evil, which is sinful.
Yeah, but they become almost like symbols, right? I mean, it's almost like, they become, right, Ashok, they become symbols of racism. Because of
yeah.
the color of their skin.
Yeah. And even when we look at the Bible, we see that such groupings existed even within the Bible, although it may not be on the basis of the color of their skin. It might be on the basis of, those are the Samaritans over there. And those are the Pharisees over there. And those are the Zealots over there. And everybody had their own distinctions. And you find Jesus going everywhere. Right, and he wasn't going to one community and telling them you're privileged and they're being oppressed. Or that's not what Jesus did. He drew all men unto himself because he is the way, the truth, and the life. And the solution to racism is Jesus Christ. The solution to racism is the gospel. The solution to sin is the gospel. What's wrong from where we sit? Where we sit up down here in India, we're looking all the way to the West and we're seeing all that's happening in America and we're baffled. We're baffled because we've got people trying to justify critical race theory and justify systemic racism. I heard a pastor I respect come up and say, there is systemic racism because, you guys need to understand what systemic racism means. All systems are made by sinners and therefore all systems are flawed. So we can say there is systemic racism. And, I could kind of see where he was coming from. And I just basically felt like saying, just because you redefine the word in your pulpit doesn't mean it redefines for the rest of the world.
Mm.
You need to understand what people are trying to propagate with these words, and what begins to happen is all of these things, critical race theory or intersectionality or social justice, tends to be, just like you both of you said, it tends to be the hiss of the serpent because it is evil ideologies presenting themselves in biblical words. So it is social justice. It is Black Lives Matter. But the force behind that and the ideology behind that is Marxist, it is sinful, it is racist, and it is divisive. And you have churches and church leaders who are just opening themselves up to embracing this, and I just feel like there is some kind of a blinding that's happening, and they're not able to see what they're getting themselves into.
Almost sounds like socialism too, right?
Yeah.
Right? Ashok, I know you're ready.
Yeah, in fact, I started this time, and because I couldn't hold myself back. But everything Mike said, pretty much. It's sad to see pastors who you've always held with great regard in your mind, in your heart, and that you learn great things from them, and suddenly to see them all guilt-tripped. And what happens is once you're guilt-tripped, you don't make good decisions. Suddenly you're not led by the Spirit. Suddenly you're not led by the Scripture. And it will start creeping into other things that they do as well. So that's what, if one of I have a ton of white friends, reformed Christian believers from across the world. And if one of them would come and apologize to me or repent to me, I'll ask them to go get a backbone. That would be my reply to them, that they be scriptural, that they be godly. Because once you're guilt-tripped, you're also giving upon those things. You know, your objective thinking, your ability to think through things, look through scripture, all those things would be compromised because people who are led by guilt would make bad decisions.
Yeah, brothers, can I also just say one
please,
thing?
Please.
I, for all the listeners to the podcast who are in America who might be listening, here's just a perspective from an Indian brother, okay? I have seen this, and this I'm not generalizing anybody. That's not what I want to do. But I just want to say, I have a few American friends I know. And I notice a pattern, and I don't know if it's a general American pattern, but I've noticed that the American sentiment or the American approach to things can oftentimes be very pragmatic. The solution to everything is a new program. It's a new framework. It's a new thing that we can do. Let's do this or let's do that. That's not so much necessarily where Indians maybe. So the interesting thing is I did an internship with a few American brothers and some sisters who had come down, and we were all together. We were doing this internship and program. And the one thing they kept coming and telling me is, you guys pray so much. And here, you know, we look at one another and go, we don't pray much at all. And so once we sat down and we had this discussion, and I was telling them, what do you mean we pray so much? We think we pray so less. And we sat down and we had a conversation, and it was so interesting how everything spiritual or a lot of things spiritual that they always used to apply were pragmatic. It's that program, or it's this, or it's that, or it's this. Whereas what we would tend to do is hold fasting and prayer, or pray, or have, you know, that kind of a mentality. And the reason I'm bringing that up is because when critical race theory and intersectionality and all of these things crop up, there may be a tendency to look for pragmatic solutions. You know, that framework is helpful. Let's go back and find new frameworks and new systems. Let's listen to that school of thought. So we can take all of this and think about how to apply it in our church, how to teach in our church. You know, you've got literally, you know, with intersectionality, you've got pastors who are saying our church is not representative of our diverse culture. We have too many white people and less black people. So let's do something. Let's hire black pastors so we can increase our black community. And for me is, brothers, stop finding programs to solve these things. Go kneel down and pray. It is the Lord who brings. It is the Lord who grows. It is the Lord who teaches. It is the Lord who does all these things. What all you need to do is kneel down and pray and seek the will of the Lord, and He will bring to pass all these things that need to happen. And so there's this mindset. And so I think that's also forcing pastors to apologize, because when they look at their church and they see that, okay, there is a small community of black people here, but it's not representative of the black people in our community at large. And so we need to cater to them. So I probably need to apologize so more people come. I probably need to, you need to pray. You need to trust God, and you need to preach the gospel, and you need to preach the word of God. And you keep teaching it consistently and faithfully, God will grow your church into a multi-ethnic culture. Your programs won't. God does that.
This is a great point. And you know something, and no, prayer, Ashok, very, very important. But I remember sometimes, and this is, I'm just coming from this perspective. Prayer is so important. You need to entreat the Lord for everything. But I remember when Joshua was on his face before the Lord. The Lord says, hey, dude, listen, you know they're sitting in the camp. Go get it out, right? I mean, so, you know, the thing is, so here's my thing, Ashok, and you know, and we do have about 10 minutes, so that's good. But here's my deal. We need to pray. We need to seek the Lord always. But sometimes, Pastor Michael Ashoup, we know what to do. We know there's sin in the camp. We know Achan's got the unclean thing. Go get it out. And the thing is, I mean, Joshua, on his face before the Lord, and the Lord basically said, hey, dude, listen, get that sin out of the camp. We can't move forward. And I think that's to Michael's point. However you got to find out, through prayer, through fasting, through reading your word, through fellowship of other brothers, when you find out, you need to do it. Right? I mean, Ashuk, am I right? I mean, that's biblical. I mean, go to Achan and find out where he's got that stuff, get it out, and let's move forward. Ashuk.
Yeah, that is the biblical approach, and that's how we deal with sin or injustice or the sin that injustice is. We go back to the scripture, we apply the gospel. The gospel is the solution for everything. We never grow old of the gospel. In fact, there's this point that Sinclair Ferguson brings out in one of his sermons. I can't quite remember which one it is. But this is what he says. As we grow in our Christian life, we don't outgrow the gospel. We don't learn the gospel first and then the new things. In fact, every single thing that we learn that is new, that reinforces and expands our understanding and the depth of the gospel. So all these things that we see, when we see injustice, we go back to our scripture. We look at what the scripture has to say it, and then we apply it. We see how God's law is being applied throughout Leviticus and everything. And is there any changes in the judicial law when it comes to the new covenant? What does scripture have to say about it? How does Paul apply the law? How do the disciples and the apostles apply the law? How do they take care of the orphans and widows? How do they deal with such problems? What does the scripture have to say about government, being good citizens, taking care of people around you, and all these things? The scripture speaks plenty about these things. So we look at them and then we faithfully preach it. And like the scripture says, it is good. It is sufficient and good for all good works. Not one or two good works. Not 99% of the good works. But for all good works.
Yeah, that's a great point. So I want to change. So here, changing topics is dangerous with this crew. Because, we change topics. But really, man, I'd love to bring this up. Because we don't have time right now to do another show. But this canceling of history. Now, I know. This is my point. Man, as Christians, we depend so much on our history. We depend on, remember the old markers they would put? So when your children come and see here, the Lord met you here. And here the world today just wants to forget about history and be so progressive. We depend on that history. Because I'm being maybe a little selfish in the fact that I'm preaching now, starting the sermon series, not this week, but next week on 1 Samuel. I mean, that's the history of how the king started to make to the ultimate king coming in Christ. So, Pastor Michael, in the limited time, which is now probably 6 minutes, 7 minutes, what is this canceling history? What is this about?
What comes to my mind is when Hitler, in his rage, wanted to wipe out the Jews. He wanted to wipe out their heritage. So he set out to destroy every piece of history, every article, every single thing that ever existed that had any Jewish attachment to it, and completely eradicate it, because that was what he was motivated to do. We would call that hatred. I think that's what we begin to see. No one is saying that bad things haven't happened in history. Here you have in this podcast two Indian brothers talking about faith. Our heritage, our history is one where the white man oppressed our entire nation. We were under the rule of the British. But our heritage and our history is that we won freedom through nonviolence. And that freedom was not necessarily fought by believers. It was fought by secular, it was fought by Hindus, it was fought by other people. But the point is, we could now fight to eradicate that history. We could fight to eradicate every history. But the point is, we are who we are because of all the things that have added up through the centuries. And God has used it all. Second thing, as Christians, we need to understand that the author of history is God.
Amen.
You really want to go and erase the pages of his book? That's not something I want to do. I don't want to mess with the history that God has ordained to happen to bring us where we are.
So I think it's his story, right?
It's his story for sure. And when I hear the cancel history and all of this kind of stuff where they're going back and talk about racial reparation, all of those kind of things, what I see is hatred. What I see is anger. And that's not the gospel. The gospel begins with forgiveness. Okay, if we're talking, okay, let's talk as Christians about critical race theory. And imagine you're a black man who comes from a black community, or a brown man, or a Hispanic, whichever community you're in, and you've been oppressed. What does the gospel tell you?
Don't forget them Italians, man.
Yeah. So what does the gospel tell you? Forgive. Forgive your enemies. Love your enemies. The gospel teaches you to forgive. You begin by saying, oh, that's fine. I have forgiven them. The point is that we are set free from the shackles of this rage or anger that might bottle up or come up in us, because we've been freed by Jesus and they don't block us anymore. So when people talk about canceling history and all of these things, my reaction is that's hatred, that's anger, that is indicative of the lack of the gospel. That's just nowhere near the Bible. Because I'll tell you what, these people are going to keep canceling history as much as they can, and finally at one point they're going to have to cancel the Old Testament and parts of the New Testament.
Yeah. Okay, so so here's my thing. We got 3 minutes, Ashok, and we're going to make you close. Here's what I'm going to give it. The Bible says if the Son makes you free, you're free indeed, right? We don't want to cancel that history, right? Close us out, man. Close us out. 3 minutes, you got the show, buddy.
Yeah. So I don't know how I'll follow that. Yeah. So that was fire.
Michael's on fire.
Yes, this topic especially gets him. It hits his, those spots that gets him really angry. But yeah. So like I always say, everything that Mike said, and. So everybody wants to take scripture the way that they want to take it, right? What is convenient to them. I think I was recently joking with someone that if I see feminists and or even the egalitarian women pastors per se, pastors in double quotes, if I meet them, I want to walk up to them and say, we take gender equality very serious in the scripture. So it is unfair that all the important characters are men. So in our church we refer to Satan with the female pronouns, and just see their reaction to that. Nobody wants to be that, right? The feminists don't want that, or nobody wants that. In fact, we want to pick and choose what we need from the scripture. All these things that we hear: egalitarianism, feminism, and the so-called social justice, intersectionality, all these things are human beings trying to create their own structure of justice, or it's a perverted view of what justice is, and it is rebellion towards God. And what we do as we try to be faithful stewards of the word of God, we preach it, we try to live the gospel out by according to the grace that has been given to us, according to the Holy Spirit that dwells within us, and then we just have to be faithful to that, and Lord will take care of his church. God will take care of the problems within church and inequalities and everything. We just have to be faithful to what is given instead of inventing new things and trying to figure out new frameworks and methods to solve these issues.
You know, praise the Lord, this has been pretty cool, Pastor Michael Ashu, but we're out of time. I'm going to be bugging them to come back. There's some other issues that I wanted to talk about. We don't have the time today. I got to get ready for a sermon. Michael's got to start getting ready. Pastor Michael's got to get ready for a sermon. And Ashu's got to go back to his life a little bit. But, this was an honor, with you gentlemen, but I do got to, cut it off now and say, this is Pastor Dominic Grimaldi on Street Talk Theology. We take our sound theology and bring it to the streets in Jesus' name.
Thank you for joining us for Street Talk Theology with Pastor Dominic Grimaldi. You can visit Pastor Dom at Desert Sky Baptist Church at 891 West Corson Road, Casa Grande. And for more information, visit us online at www.desertskybaptist.org.